Let's pray. Father, as we have just sung this song, we're reminded of what happened to a degree, that long before Jesus was a baby in a manger, he was God the Son with you, God the Father, in glory. And as we have sung, we're reminded that he left the splendor of heaven to be born a human being, not even in a nice motel, but in a stable and laid in a manger. We're reminded by these songs, Heavenly Father, of this season, the season that we celebrate year after year, of your gift to us, your gift to humanity. And so we thank you this morning, Heavenly Father, for loving us, for being willing to send us your best, to send us your Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being a willing part of this whole story, to leave the comfort and the beauty of the right hand of God the Father to come to earth and in time be ridiculed, mocked, beaten, crucified, and killed for us. We praise you, Father, for this plan to redeem humanity. I praise you this morning, Heavenly Father, for everyone here. I pray that you would touch their bodies if they hurt. I pray that you would heal their hearts if it's broken. I pray that you would comfort and encourage, that you would strengthen and direct. Direct our paths, O Lord, I pray. I pray, Heavenly Father, that at this season of Christmas, that millions of people would come to the saving knowledge of Christ and put our faith completely in you, Lord Jesus, and walk with you our whole life long. And so I pray for everyone here and thank you for them. I pray for those that couldn't come, road conditions, sickness, age, other difficulties, and some in our communities just aren't in the habit of going to church. So I pray for them all and ask that you administer to them, that they would sense the joy of Jesus this Christmas, and that people in church and out would embrace Christ as Savior and Lord. And so as we have gathered this morning, Father, to look at your Scripture, we pray that you would guide us by your Spirit. Thank you for these beautiful Christmas songs that we've sung. Now guide us by your Spirit, O God, as we continue our worship of you, I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Last week, if you were with us, and a lot of you were, we spoke about the genealogy of Jesus, tracing back from Joseph, his earthly dad, to David, and on to Abraham. We did that for a very simple reason. I wanted to show to you the dots have been all connected. The prophecy of the Old Testament has been fulfilled, and this son of David. We know, I mentioned this last week, and you know, Joseph is not his biological father. We're going to see from Scripture today again how that spells that out. But as I said last week, Joseph was the husband of Mary. They were betrothed. Your Bible will use betrothed. That means engaged, to be married. So Mary, we're going to see in Luke chapter 1, becomes pregnant by the power of God, by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph is not the biological dad, biological father, but he is the legal father, the legal connection from Jesus back to King David. And so today we're going to look at Joseph a little bit. We're going to look at Mary a little bit. And I want us to be thinking about two things. One, we do not want to forget the Christmas story. You say, well, how could we? Well, it's got a lot of competition. That's how we could. You know what I'm saying? All you have to do is walk around the malls or go to the stores, and you know that Jesus has a lot of competition. And so part of my purpose today is I don't want us to forget the story. I don't want us to forget the reason we have Christmas. And the other reason, the second reason, today I'm going over the scripture that I'm going, I want us to be contemplating when we see the obedience of Mary, a teenager. And the obedience of Joseph. The Bible says, a righteous man. I want us to dwell on a little bit their obedience to the voice of God. To me, as I read these stories, as I've been doing for weeks, these Christmas stories, the obedience of Mary and the obedience of Joseph is a wonderful thing. And so we're going to look at that today. So if you've got your Bible, I'm going to be in Luke, and then I'm going to be in the Old Testament, then I'm going to be back in Matthew. And so if you don't have your Bible, you can check it out on the big screen. And let me say just again this morning, if you don't have a Bible, we would like you to have one. And so you let us know if you don't have one, and we'll get you one, because we think reading the Bible is good for us. We think we should do it every day. And so if you don't have one, we'd like you to have one. We've got one for you. You let us know. Luke chapter 1, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so some of your Bibles won't look exactly the same unless you've got a New Living Translation, but it will be on the big screen. I've chosen the New Living Translation today because I want us to see with clarity and simplicity this story. Here we go. Luke chapter 1, 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, you can read about that in the first part of chapter 1 if you'd like to. Most of you know that. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. We know the story. I think we all know this part of the story. Mary, the Bible says here in Luke's gospel, was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. Joseph was that descendant of King David. We saw that last week. Gabriel, that's the angel, appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." She was a teenager. Now, I don't know how you'd feel if all of a sudden, poof, there's an angel in your room speaking to you, but I'm pretty sure I know how I would. Here is an angel speaking to Mary, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed is a good way to describe how she was probably feeling. That's what the New Living Translation says. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. And the angel says in verse 30, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." Heavenly direction. And believe it or not, brothers and sisters, when we look at the Word of God and we are attentive to the Spirit of God, you too and I will get heavenly direction. You say, "Jim, what are you saying?" All we have to do is read the Word of God and we get heavenly direction. And be listening to the voice of God. Maybe through a song, maybe through a conversation, maybe through a radio or TV pastor, or maybe just reading the Word. We will get heavenly direction. We really will. And so she is getting this heavenly direction that says, you will conceive, you'll give birth to a son, you will call his name Jesus. He will be very great, and we call the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary's a teenager. She knows where babies come from. She's young, but she knows that. She knows how babies come about. And Mary asked the angels, how can this be? I'm a virgin. How can I have a child when I've never been with a man? She's engaged. She's betrothed. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Kind of like at creation, when God, the Spirit of God, it says, hovered over the deep. You remember that in Genesis chapter 1? And God spoke into word, and things happened. And the angel simply says to this young lady, the power of the Most High will just overshadow you, and you will conceive. You will be expecting a baby, and you'll name him Jesus. Then the angel goes on, so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail. Some of your translations, if you're looking at the Bible, says nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Nothing is impossible with God. And then in verse 38, that's not on the big screen, but it is in your Bibles if you've got them open, she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. You see the obedience there? Okay, God, if that's your plan, I'm in. This is a very young lady. This is a very extraordinary happening. This is not normal. And she says, okay, Lord, in essence, thy will be done. So we see the angel Gabriel came to Mary, told her she was going to be carrying a child. She was only betrothed, she was only engaged to Joseph, and she asked that legitimate question, I've never been with a man. And the answer is, but the power of God will overshadow you. So we know that story about the Immaculate Conception. We know the story, right? Now let us go back into the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 22. I want to remind us there of some things that Mary knew and Joseph knew. I'm going to get to Joseph in a minute. But I want us to see the Mosaic law that was talked about every Sabbath in the synagogue, and these people that were raised up in the Jewish way, in the Jewish tradition, in the synagogue, knew about this Jewish law. 22 Deuteronomy, beginning at verse 13. The law of God handed down to Moses. Suppose a man marries a woman, but after sleeping with her, he turns against her and publicly accuses her of shameful conduct, saying, when I married this woman, I discovered she wasn't a virgin. Then the woman's father and mother must bring the proof of her virginity to the elders as they hold court at the town gate. Her father must say to them, I gave my daughter to this man to be his wife, and now he has turned against her. He has accused her of shameful conduct, saying, I discovered that your daughter was not a virgin. But here is the proof of my daughter's virginity. Then they must spread her bedsheet before the elders. The elders must then take the man and punish the man for false accusations. They must fine him 100 pieces of silver, which he must pay to the woman's father because he publicly accused a virgin of Israel of shameful conduct. The woman will then remain the man's wife, and he may never divorce her. I'm reading over this a few times this week, and I'm just wondering. And I'm thinking, as much as anything, it was for this. I have a little bit more to go in this scripture. I'm thinking, more than anything, this was preventative measures for the man. Don't disgrace your bride. Verse 20. But suppose a man's accusations are true. Now, as I read this, think about this from Mary's standpoint and Joseph's, who we're going to get to in a minute. But suppose the man's accusation are true and he can show that she was not a virgin. In Mary's case, she's pregnant. The woman then must be taken to the door of her father's house, and there the men of the town must stone her to death, for she has committed a disgraceful crime in Israel by being promiscuous while living in her parents' home. In this way you'll purge this evil from among you. Mary knew this law. Stone her to death on the threshold of dad's doorstep? Mary knew this law. And so when she gets this heavenly visitor that says, you're going to be expecting a child and you're going to name him Jesus and he will be great and on and on and on. We read about that already. Can you imagine what's going through her mind? Yeah, but Mosaic law, this and that and the other thing. She doesn't argue when the angel came to her. She doesn't ask but one simple question. And then she simply says, behold the handmaid of the Lord. She simply says, thy will be done. She knows this Mosaic law. Joseph knows this Mosaic law. Enter now Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. I'm in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew makes it very simple to understand. We can follow right along. She becomes pregnant through the power of God, without any relationships with man. Now enter Joseph. Mary is pregnant. If you read all of Luke chapter 1, we picked it up partway through. You can see that her cousin Elizabeth was told she too would be pregnant. And so Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. And for 3 months, Mary is there, but when she comes back to where her town was and where Joseph was, it must at this point now be obvious she's pregnant. And so Matthew spells this out for us. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. What does that mean? He knew Mary's been gone visiting Elizabeth for 3 months. He knows now she's back. He knows she's pregnant. And yet the Bible, the first thing it says about Joseph is, he's a righteous man. He discovers she is expecting. He knows it isn't his. Hadn't even been in town for 3 months. And then it says, but Joseph, knowing Deuteronomy chapter 22, knowing what the Mosaic law said, knowing that this very could mean stoning this poor young teenager at the threshold, at the doorstep of her dad's house, the Bible says Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. He didn't want that to happen to her. He didn't want to shame her further. He didn't want to see her die at the threshold of her dad's steps. He knew the law of Deuteronomy 22. He knew what that meant. And I love this part that Matthew says, and we never put much emphasis on this, at least I have not. But as I was reading through these accounts these last weeks, it just struck me, but Joseph was a righteous man. And he didn't want to see that happen to her. And so as he's pondering this, I'm now in verse 20. As he's pondering, okay, she's pregnant. I don't want the law fulfilled in her life. As he's considering what to do, he's already contemplating he's going to have to break off the betrothal, break off the engagement, not go through with it, and just let her go away, slip into obscurity quietly. As he's contemplating all of this, the Bible says in verse 20, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. You see, he was contemplating checking out on her. Rather than have her stoned, he was contemplating just saying, you know what, I'm just going to annul this. I'm just going to break off the engagement. And as he's pondering this, the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Why? Because the child that she is carrying, the child within her, was conceived by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know if he understood that or not. He knew the power of God. He was a righteous man. And so as the angel appears to him with clarity, go ahead, Joseph, and take her as your wife, because this child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. And the angel continues, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. Just like Mary was told, his name is going to be Jesus. Further, the angel says, for he, the son that Mary will bear, and you will be his legal connection, you will be his legal dad, just not his biological dad, he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. You know what? They're looking for a Savior to save them from the Romans. And sometimes we're looking for a Savior to save us from our problems. We're reminded here that God is a God of love and compassion and mercy, and He wants to walk with you through the journey of life, and He will to the extent that we allow Him to journey with us through good days and bad. But the key point here I want us to see here is when the angel says to Joseph, He may not save you from the Romans. He may not save you from persecution. He may not save you from all of the difficulties, but He will save you from your sin. And I say hallelujah. Because if we're not saved from our sins, brothers and sisters, we're not ready to go home to be with Jesus. We need to be saved from our sin, and that's what Jesus came to do. And that's what the angel told her. The angel further said, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through His prophets, because Joseph, remember, is a righteous man. He knows about Isaiah. He knows about Deuteronomy. And so the angel gives him further proof by saying this, all of this occurred, Joseph, to fulfill the Lord's message through His prophet. He's speaking about Isaiah 700 years earlier, when Isaiah said in Isaiah 7 and 14, look, the virgin will conceive a child. That's what Isaiah said. Joseph probably read that before. And now he's starting to realize it's his engaged-to-be wife. And the angel takes it another step further from Isaiah 9:6 and says, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Prophesied from Isaiah. The angel reminds Joseph this is all part of prophecy. And when we see in verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he called a council meeting of the board members. No, that ain't what he said. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife, pregnant and all. No questions. No committee meetings, just obedience. Purely and simply obedience. After all, Matthew said, this is a righteous man. So why do we look at this subject this morning? Because this is all part of the story. When we celebrate Christmas, this is all part of the story. The story of the birth of the Christ. And I might have mentioned this to you, I don't remember. I know I mentioned it at the earlier service. I'm reminded when I think of this story of the words from Moses when he handed down the Mosaic Law. You remember what he said? Pass it on. Pass it on to the next generation. Don't let the next generation forget what God has done. 10 plagues in Egypt, parting the Red Sea, feeding you for 40 years. Your sandals didn't even wear out. Your clothes didn't wear out. Don't forget what God has done. And Moses said to the children of Israel, pass it on. When you lay down at night, when you get up in the morning, when you walk along the ways, post it on the doorpost of your house. But don't forget what God has done. And so I go over this story for us this morning because I don't want us to forget with culture and society and enlightenment. We think we're smarter now than we've ever been. I don't want us to forget the story of Jesus. And some of these beautiful details, like the genealogy last week from a colorful, colorful past, and yet God brought about Jesus. And I don't want us to forget the story of the obedience of this teenage woman. The obedience of this righteous man. And Joseph woke up and he did not call a board meeting. He did not call a committee. He did not head down to check with the high priest. He took Mary as his wife just like he had been commanded to do. The obedience of these people to follow the voice of God. And so I don't want us to forget the story. Godly woman. Immaculate conception. She simply said, I am yours, O God. And Joseph simply said, okay, Lord. And did what he was commanded to do. And so I don't want us to forget about the story. You know, I was looking at statistics this last week, and a lot of society doesn't subscribe to the story. The Pew Research and Barna and those kind of people, they do questionnaire type things and they do surveys and they want to get feedback from people to see how people thinking. And they've just discovered on a brand new, the Pew Research just discovered on a brand new Christmas survey that a full 33% of people 30 years old and down don't buy this at all. They don't buy anything about virgin births. And 25% of above 30s don't either. That's a lot of folks. But when we profess faith in Christ, part of what our receiving Him by faith is recognizing this is part of the story. Immaculate conception, virgin birth, holy child, obedient Joseph to not let her go and be stoned, but to take her as wife and take care of her and take care of this child, even though it wasn't his. This is part of the story. And when we subscribe to Christ and we proclaim Him as Lord, we don't want to leave out this part of the story. He is God. We're going to sing in just a minute or two, Silent Night. And the last verse from that we'll see it on the big screen, it's going to remind us again, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. He was God at his birth. Born of a virgin, immaculate conception, holy child, holy birth. He was God at his birth. And I don't want us to forget the story. And the other thing I want to point out to us today is my prayer for me. And my hope for me, and then that I would pass that on to you, that we would be that obedient to the voice of God. That when He comes to us through His Word, or through whatever, like I said earlier, pastor on TV, on radio, or a song, or your neighbor, when you sense the voice of God, that we would be that obedient to follow His Word. Teenager, turning up pregnant in man's terms meant death or cast off, and yet she was obedient to the voice of God. Joseph wanted to take a better route. Well, I don't want to see her die. I don't want her condemned. And so he chose to take a better route. And yet the Spirit of God, the angel of God said, I've got a better route yet. Marry her anyway. And so I just invite us this Christmas season. And I said it once, I'll say it again. It starts right here with me, that we would be... I actually was praying this the other day on my prayer walk in the morning, because I knew I was going to preach. I knew I was going to preach about this, and I actually was praying, God, I wish I was half that obedient. I wish I was half that faithful to you and to your voice and to your word. And so my prayer is that we will be that obedient to the glory of God this season and always. Close in prayer. I just want to ask you this morning, have you been obedient to the voice of God that says, come to me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, because I'll give you rest? Have you been obedient to that voice that says, come, I love you. I want you to be my son, my daughter. Trust me. Trust my son. Have you been obedient to that voice? Maybe this season, maybe today is a day of salvation, of being born again, of getting right with God because of your faith, surrendered faith in Christ. He loves you. God loves us so much, He sent His Son to die for us. And His Spirit is going to tap us on the shoulder. He's going to nudge us and say, will you come? It's all up to you. It's all up to me. Will we respond to the voice of God? What will we do with Jesus? And so I ask you this Christmas season, will you trust Him as Lord? Will you invite Him into your life, into your home? Let Him take over. Listen to the voice of God this season, to whatever He has for us, and let us be obedient as Joseph and Mary. Father, we praise You for Your hand all the way through the story. We praise You, Father, for this obedient young woman that became the mother of Jesus. We praise You for this righteous man called Joseph, who didn't want her to die, but didn't know how to handle the situation until he was given direction from You, and he was obedient. Father, thank You for these details in the story. Thank You that Jesus was born, and He lived, and He taught us, and He healed, and He proclaimed the good news, and He laid down His life for us, and He rose again. Thank You for the story. I just pray, Father God, You'd help me, help us to be as obedient as those two were in fulfilling Your story, in fulfilling Your will. And so, Father, I pray again for safety as folks travel home, safety as this season continues to unfold, and may we experience the joy of Jesus. I know there's heavy hearts here, Lord. We've lost our loved ones. I know that. You know that. You know hearts are heavy. But may we experience a little bit of the joy of Jesus, because Jesus has taken up residence in our life. And we've got the joy of Jesus in us, in spite of the hurt and the broken hearts. May we experience the joy of Jesus again this season, O God. Help us along the way, I pray. Help us to be obedient to You. In Jesus' name, amen.